But first, to the state capitol, where we saw a flurry of voting last week as lawmakers put together the next state budget, expected to total about $48 billion. The Republican-controlled state house approved spending for schools and colleges, as well as a budget to fund the rest of state government. The state senate, of course, also controlled by the GOP, approved about half of its budget plan, with more votes scheduled this week. And now this sets the stage for negotiations between the two chambers all through May, because the goal in Lansing is to get that budget completed by June 1st. Joining us now are Chad Livengood, Lansing reporter for the Detroit News. Welcome back, Chad.
Thanks for having me.
And Chris Gouts, who is Capitol correspondent for Crane's Detroit Business. Hi, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
Good to have you both back. I want to start with an issue that we have talked about so many times here on Stateside, and that would be transportation funding. Governor Snyder wants more than $1 billion annually, more in funding for roads and bridges, but it isn't looking like he's getting what he is looking for, or is he? Can you fill us in, Chad?
Right now, the budgets that have passed out of these both chambers do not include the whole $1.2 billion more in new funding. The House basically found some money to fill the state's commitment to get a full federal match because there's been a reoccurring shortfall in the amount of money that our gas tax is producing every year to get the federal matching funds. And the Senate has included roughly over about $130 million more out of Treasury that they think that is available there. But all sides are coming up short here because there is not an agreement on how to raise the $1.2 billion to get to that point. And the governor had proposed a series of fairly significant hikes in vehicle registration fees, which is effectively known as the birthday tax because you pay it on your birthday.
Right.
And also a gas tax increase from 19 cents to 33 cents on regular gasoline per gallon. Those did not go over too well. So they're back to the drawing board here, and they've been debating a lot of different alternatives.
So therein lies the rub. Chris, give us a sense of some of those alternatives to the birthday tax and the gas tax.
Well, I've heard actually talk of going back to something that we've talked about in the program before that has been sort of called hippie punching, where you tax those who have alternative vehicles because they're sort of the biggest culprits of not paying gas, buying gas at the pump and contributing to the roads. I don't know that that's going to fly, but that's sort of the one of these things that's been out there. But I think sort of the latest evolution of all this is that the alternative might be that they'll just go ahead and do some sort of straight tax increase, because the conventional thinking all along was that Republicans were going to have Democratic votes. And there was a very reportedly contentious meeting between the legislative quadrant late last week where they apparently devolved into a sort of a shouting match. And the House Speaker walked away from that meeting sending feelers out there through the media that they're just going to try to go it alone now, that they feel that the Democrats are just not going to budge, and so that they're just going to do this on their own, sort of the way in which the Blue Cross bills were approved late last year when the Democrats wouldn't help because they were so angry over right to work. They said the Republicans just went to the right, and they included that abortion language that got enough votes to get it done. The Speaker is now saying openly that's what they're considering doing with transportation. So if the Democrats aren't going to help, they're just going to find other ways to pacify their members so that when they go back to their districts, they can say, yes, I voted for this tax increase, but look, I also voted for maybe prevailing wage or a new set of abortion bills. They're going to give them other things to package this with to sort of make the tax increase vote sort of less than the anger amongst the constituents.
Contentious meeting? Never. Lansing? All right, let's switch over to another issue that Republicans in the legislature and Governor Snyder can't seem to quite get on the same page about, expanding Medicaid funding. Chad, can you give us the background? What's going on here?
Well, the governor had called for increasing the income eligibility rate for enrolling in Medicaid, which is the state-federal partnership health insurance for the poor, to 133% of the poverty level of income, which is roughly a little under $15,000 for a single individual or $30,000 for a family of four. This is what is called for under the Affordable Care Act as part of the nationwide effort to get nearly every American on health insurance. The governor came out strongly for this with backing from lots of different players in the business community. The whole hospital medical community was obviously in favor of it because they absorb tens of millions of dollars every year in uncompensated care. And it has just hit a roadblock in the legislature where you have a Republican-controlled House and Senate that is very much opposed to many of the tenets of Obamacare, because mm-hmm. this is one of them.
Yeah.
And so they have not included it in either budget. And by all accounts, we're more likely to see our taxes go up on gasoline than we are to see the Medicaid expansion approved here before the 4th of July, I would think.
Huh. Chris, I want to have you fill us in on an issue that we have been keeping an eye on here at Stateside, and that's the film tax credits. And the House stripped away $25 million in tax credits, but even Governor Snyder, who's not a big fan of them, and the GOP and the state Senate want to keep at least that money. What's going on here?
Well, I think in the end, I think you're still going to see movies produced here in the coming years. This happened last year, and I believe even the year before, if I'm not mistaken. The House always cuts this money that they don't like the program, and it plays well back home because people don't like that we're giving all this money to Hollywood, you know, stars, even though that's really not the case anymore. And so they cut the $25 million that the governor had proposed. And it was $50 million this year, I believe. And they put that money towards transportation. They said, you know, budgets are about priorities, and our priority and the governor's priority seems to be transportation. So put your money where your mouth is, and let's not give this money, give these handouts to Hollywood, and let's, you know, fix the roads. And obviously, it's a very small amount. It was part of a $300 million that the House could cobble together for transportation. So they took it out. It's going to come back in the Senate for sure. Senate Majority Leader Randy Richfield is probably the biggest proponent of the industry in the entire legislature. And the governor, like you said, is on board. So it got taken out in the House, but I'm sure in the final product, you'll see that money back in.
We're talking with Chad Livengood, who's the Lansing reporter for the Detroit News, and Chris Gouts, Capital Correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business, kind of picking apart what's been happening in Lansing as lawmakers put together the next state budget. And Chris Gouts, what are we missing? What have we not discussed yet that you're going to be keeping your eye on?
I mean, those are really the big things. I think the other thing, obviously, is school funding, and that gets changed every day. It's really not even worth trying to keep track anymore of what they're saying that the per pupil allocation is going to be. You know, the Republicans say that it's a 2% increase for schools, and that they're counting certain things, and the Democrats aren't counting certain things, so that they can go back and say that, you know, we're actually cutting schools after getting, you know, schools got whacked way before. There's still this fight over whether or not we should be even using school aid fund into the community college and higher education budgets. And then the other thing that we saw last week that came out in terms of higher education and all other areas of the budget is that the House Republicans removed the right to work punitive language out of all those budgets so that they'll no longer be penalized for having signed contracts with their unions, which they were free and legal to do prior to the March 28th enactment of right to work.
I'm wondering, from the perspective of both of you, as you're sitting there, you're watching this, you did mention contentious meetings over transportation funding. Is there anything where people could say, gee, Democrats and Republicans are kind of standing together on one of these issues? Are there any points of agreement?
There's not a lot of agreement. I mean, one example on this road funding, where this sort of went off the tracks last week, the House Minority Leader, Representative Tim Grimmel of Auburn Hills, Democrat, he basically played the terrorism card and accused a Republican Speaker, Jay Spolger, of terroristic-type tactics in the negotiations over this. And he used the word terrorism. And we're not going to negotiate with terrorists. So, and then obviously that got a lot of condemnation and just kind of became a little bit of a sideshow up here. But that's not a lot of a room for agreement. You've got a big midterm election coming up, and the governor's up for re-election, and the entire state senate's up for re-election, and the whole House is at stake. So the Democrats aren't necessarily going to go along with a lot of things that the majority party wants to do, and they're especially not going to make vulnerable Democrats in middle ground, battleground-type seats vote for things that they could, especially like a tax increase on gas, that could be just turned around and used against them in the election next year.
Chris Gouts, do you see them achieving their goal to get the budget done by June 1st?
You know, I think so. I mean, they've done it for 2 years in a row, and I don't see why they can't do it for a third. I mean, it's obviously very easy to get a budget done when you have the House and the Senate and the governor's see all, you know, controlled by the same party, which, you know, obviously wasn't the case when Granholm was in office. And so we saw how hard, difficult that was to do, and even getting the government shut down. So, yeah, I think they'll do it when you just have to, all you have to do is argue about, you know, how conservative you want a budget to be. It's not about, you know, having to actually negotiate, you know, real, you know, heavy things. Not that they're not doing that now, but they're all on the same page in some respects. I will say that there is this one area in Medicaid where you do actually have both sides in agreement. You have at least members of both sides in agreement, where you have Matt Lourie, who chairs the community health budget in the House, is a Republican, who actually agrees with the governor that it should be in there. Even though he controls the committee, he didn't put it in his budget because he knew that the rest of the majority of his caucus doesn't support it. So it's really going to be a matter of educating members. You know, a lot of them just don't understand how Medicaid works, and some of them might be worried about being primary because their opponent will say that they voted for this budget and therefore they support Obamacare, and that's a death knell in a Republican primary. So for those that actually understand how it works and understand the benefits of it, we'll see if, you know, facts and reasoning will win out, win the day here.
That was Chris Gouts, Capital Correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business, and he was joined by Chad Livengood, who's the Lansing reporter for the Detroit News. As always, we enjoy talking with you guys. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.